Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend. I'm, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining, as always, is Filippo Nolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Soloci. Acknowledge your existence.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Their existence has been acknowledged. So, it's been a banner week for assholes, folks.
Yes, it has.
The world needs an enema, but I have no idea where to stick the hose.
Yeah, and if Gwyneth Paltrow's coffee enema is anything to go by, that's not the one to do it.
Oh, God.
But we, you know, so as you can probably guess, a certain you-know-who said some very unfortunate things about certain countries, and we're going to be talking about it, because unfortunately you do have to.
Yeah.
Because it was just a really rotten, awful thing to say to begin with.
Yeah.
Especially considering that I know a couple of people from said countries.
Yeah.
But that won't be the only thing we'll be talking about. We'll also have some science news. We'll have some entertainment news, including Sarah Silverman actually had an exchange with a troll on, I think it was Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
It was Twitter. Yeah. It ended up being pretty amazing. And it's, you're going to see why, because she did something pretty astounding. Hmm. We also got some Olympics news, specifically the Winter Olympics, including that none other than North Korea will actually be participating.
Well, this should be fun.
Yeah. Also, apparently some turkeys in Ohio are getting revenge for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
No, that one's just weird.
And, of course, we do know that Marvel will be working on a new movie. On a new franchise character. We'll tell you all about it. We'll just tell you they are the only female member of the Avengers.
Yeah.
In the movie universe.
Should narrow it down.
Yeah, very quickly. That book by Michael Wolff, Fire and Fury, apparently is such a major seller that a 10-year-old book also called Fire and Fury by a Canadian professor is actually getting a bump because of it. The two are in no way related other than the title,
Yeah. But
you'll find out why. So all that and more on this edition of Let's Weekend. So start us off, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So this week has been kind of rough, I'll be honest. Comes to a point in your life when you have to start reevaluating things, and I did. So, yeah, I have to make some tough choices, and, I'm currently in the, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing phase of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, I feel that, once I start getting past that, I think my life will improve, immensely. So, pretty sure Pat has been down this road before, so I think he knows what I've been feeling. So, It's kind of rough, but I'm starting to feel better about it. I'm getting that little feeling down in my gut, and it has nothing to do with heartburn or acid reflux.
Mm-hmm.
And
that can sometimes be the cause of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to feel better about it. So
the best part is right after that when the excitement part starts setting in.
Yeah.
And that will come.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah. So, I might be leaning on you a little bit, Pat, but, it's going to be a journey.
I'm here for you, man.
Yeah. So, apart from, life-changing decisions, been working on, World Warriors a bit. I mean, we can actually talk about it now because it sort of happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's actually going to be a segment about it on the Day Zero update because it is associated with a larger news item that took place this past week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be, that definitely involves things that we were involved in this week.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been working on that, been plugging away at the database, getting the videos up there. Plugin still needs some work, but I'll sort that out. And the main thing, I think, this week has been the forums because, yeah, I kind of had to drop everything and get those up in a day. So yep. That's been my week as far as World Warriors has gone. Other than that, I've been kind of unwinding a little bit here and there with some random TV shows and watched the new Mythbusters episode, which was actually pretty good. They did the action movie trope where a guy jumps off the top of a building, grabs onto a rope, and swings down to a floor.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots through a window and, hits another floor. So that was fun to watch them pull off. They also tested ways of dealing with onions. Some good life advice and some stuff that you probably will never be involved with, but is still cool to watch. So, yeah, kind of a good mix, and it seems like they're getting their stride now. So, yeah, I'm liking where it's going. I was worried that it was going to turn into something like Smash Lab, which was just completely stupid and ridiculous. I don't know if you've ever seen that show. But no, it's actually turning out to be pretty good. So, that's been my week.
That's good.
What about you, Pat?
Also stuff, World Warriors stuff. The basic gist of what happened is Tom Cannon has been helping run SRK since the beginning, made a post on Twitter about the fact that they were closing down the Shoryuken forums at the end of January. As has been alluded to on this show and the Day Zero update in recent weeks, Phil and I have been working on a fighting game community hub of our own with a little bit of a different focus, but that's a story for another day. And the fact that we were about to lose the Shoryuken forums and all of its volumes of content over the last 20 years or so, almost, we kind of got our asses in gear, got some forum software set up, got a basic look for it and launched it so that people could start, moving their content over stuff from the regional matchmaking boards or the Tech Talk forum, which is just pretty much the Bible of how to engineer sticks or things like that. Fell all over ourselves to get that done. And then about a day later, Tom Cannon went back on Twitter and said the reaction to news of the forums closing was overwhelming. They reevaluated things and rather than simply closing them down and throwing the baby out with the bathwater, they're going to find a new plan and stay solvent. So we sort of announced our presence to the world for no reason, but we're keeping the forums open because I think we can have a good thing going there even as we lead up to the launch of the site proper. And there is in terms of the site proper, that is still basically just stuff right now. In a little while, probably sometime in February, I think it'll be a good time to announce what we're actually doing and maybe even pull the curtain back on some of it. But right now it is just stuff, and I'm actually doing stuff as we podcast at the moment. If you love fighting games, I think it's something you're really going to appreciate. It's a bit time consuming, but I think it's going to be worth it for anyone who is trying to become a better Street Fighter player, or it even just is particularly entertained by spectating. I almost spilled the beans there, but look forward to it. I'm looking forward to just seeing how well it's received and how people end up using this this resource that we're creating. And also, it's beta week on PSN, apparently. I probably scared some people over at Comcast earlier when I got home because I downloaded the Dissidia open beta and the Dragon Ball FighterZ open beta.
Neither of which are particularly small.
Right. And my roommate downloaded the Dissidia beta himself. So, yeah, that's that's some good usage, but yeah, I'm looking forward to cracking into those games, and I might even stream some later on. I don't know.
Cool.
The night is young.
Yep.
But that's been my week.
All right, Chris.
Ride, such as it was.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris.
So I started watching the new DuckTales.
Oh yeah.
Watched the first few episodes, and it's really good.
Oh, I've been told. I've watched the first episode, so
yeah, that one's a long one as they take their sweet time setting it up. But yeah, all the voice actors seem to be pretty good. The writing is well done, and it's pretty much perfect for what it's trying to do. I've only watched the first few episodes, but look forward to watching more of that. I've been playing a bunch of Assassin's Creed Origins over the last few days, and that's definitely getting better, though it's better when I am staying out of sight and using the bows.
Mm-hmm.
The combat's okay. It's not doing it too much for me. Maybe I just don't have the right weapons for what I want to do with it, but so far I've been mainly trying to stick with the bows, which isn't too great when the main one I'm using only can hold six arrows. So I get out of them really quick, though I have one of the perks I picked when I leveled up is I can pick them back up if I get to the body.
Mm.
So you can sort of recover them a bit. So there's some good stuff there. I'm in Alexandria now, doing some quests there, and still haven't gotten to his wife yet. I got sidetracked on a couple other things, and this weird rebels thing where there are rebels that you are supposed to free, and then they go run around, and I don't know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. They got into some horse battles with soldiers, and then nothing really happened there after that. It just kind of weirdly glitched out. Then, because it shows this exclamation point that's sort of superimposed over the, like you see it just hovering on the screen in the horizon. I went over that way because I was like, what the hell is this thing? Ended up leading me to like a enemy camp area that I just went and took out all the enemies in there through mostly bows and arrows. Mm-hmm. Though some would not be able to take a one-hit shot, so I had to sort of find a way to sneak down and take them out from behind. But I did that, and then you free all the rebels out of their cages, and after that it just really glitched out. I was like, hey, go free them again. It's like, what? I don't understand what this is all about. So I gave up on that and did a really weird quest where I needed to free some, get some food for some people, and basically steal this horse carriage. Only getting it was a bit of a battle. And I ended up, when I did get it, it did not control well. So I think I have a nice little clip I took of me trying to turn it around and get it to where it was going and ended up driving into the water. Because I had passed the point where you needed to drop it off, but they do not control well. And you can't back up as far as I could tell. So yeah, it did not go well. I had to replay it a few times just because it kept bugging out for weird things like that. Otherwise, it's been pretty good. Also been playing more Picross E8, which still is really good. Weirdly, like, all the puzzles have been either flowers, fruit, or birds. For some reason. It's been like the major themes from these early puzzles, but yeah, I'm continuing with that. And I'm playing more HQ Trivia. And the one I was just playing here at the 9 o'clock edition, I got to my furthest ever, which I think was Q7, which was a question about the Matrix, about the book that inspired it. And I fucked that up.
Hmm.
Which was a book called, I think, Simulation and Simulacra. I picked Neuromancer because that was the only one I knew. And obviously I missed that. The one they had yesterday had Jimmy Kimmel hosting it, which was pretty cool. Then I got fucking screwed over because it wouldn't take my answer. It was a question about which brand of ice cream has the flavor Vermonster, which being a pun, it's 9 times out of 10 is going to be Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
Sitting there hitting it, and it's like, what are you doing? And then it just eliminated me because I didn't answer, even though I was fucking tapping the button. It pissed me off. But I've been getting screwed over a lot just because they make their third or fourth question like really hard. There's one about a famous dude named Harold Pinter,
mm-hmm.
who I guess writes plays, which I did not know. So that's been like the quick ending point. This is the first time I've gotten past that and fucked it up on a Matrix question, which sucked. But yeah, Scott Rogowski has not been the host this week, I don't think. So there's a lot of people yelling in the chat, like Free Scott, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's been pretty good when I can get on and play. There's been times they usually have shows at 3 and 9. I'm like, oh, it's 8:15. I'm going to have to hop on. And then I realize it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, fuck. Just let the time go past because the notifications aren't great. But I've also been dealing with shitty weather this week.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of that to spare.
Yeah, we had it warm up to 58 yesterday. It was raining. And then today, that went back down to the 20s.
Yep.
And that rain kept going, then froze into, I guess, kind of freezing rain, but it was more like hail. And then that just started gathering on the ground, mixing with the rain to make this nice icy slush, which is always great. Mm. I think we're supposed to get snow if it's not already snowing. I haven't looked outside since I got home. We're supposed to get like 48 inches over the night, so that's not great. But yeah, it was annoying trying to drive on roads that were mostly fine. People just want to go 40 on a 65 anyway. But I saw a semi truck that had run off the road, so that was not great. Cops were there, had the flares and all that on the road, just trying to make sure people don't be stupid on the roads. But yeah, I guess the latest winter storm warning has 2 to 4 inches now, so it's not too bad. But that icy slush was not great. But that's better than what it was saying earlier this week, which was like maybe like 6 to 10 inches. But yeah, that's been kind of it this week. How would you, Brandon?
Well, first of all, you talked about how it got up to around 57. It got up to around 70 yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, it mostly melted our snow, except for the big piles that are now just black shit.
Mm-hmm.
Trash. So now it's going to get more snow on top.
Yes. It's... You start to think, oh, maybe the world's trying to tell us something, but whatever. So anyway, so first of all, the big gaming thing I've been doing this week, of course, is Xenoblade Chronicles 2, still playing that in earnest. I've gotten to, I believe, is Chapter 4 now. The game apparently has about 10 chapters total, so I'm close to the midway of it. Again, game's a lot of fun. It's gotten to the point in where the voice acting really gets up. It's turned up a bit of a notch. It gets more emotional, and you get a character killed off for real. a playable character at that. And I've been told from people it isn't the last. The weird thing though is that this character that, you know, gets killed off, he's, you know, they make a huge like deal about his death, like there's all this mourning and outcry and talking about, you know, how awesome a person he was. He was literally only in your party for like this one chapter. Like, honestly, this would have a bit more of a more profound effect if this happened later in the game. Honestly.
Yeah, you have to build the character up a little bit before you can become attached to them and then kill them.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason why we all wept like children when Aerith died. So
all?
Uh-huh.
Some of us. But, yeah.
No, my equipment I bought you.
Yeah, no, my healer is gone. Crap.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but...
Well, thanks to the magic of materia, anyone can be your healer.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, other than that, though, like, everything else is really still a lot of fun. One other problem I've noticed... being that it's a Monolith Soft game, you of course know that the landscapes that you explore are visually stunning to the eye.
Vast.
Yeah, vast. Lots of nooks and crannies and crags and mountainsides all twisting and turning around in fantastic ways. And that's all well and good. Here's the problem, though. Sometimes you have to climb those mountains, which is not a problem in and of itself. And sometimes that involves you having to, you know, go across thin mountain roads and ridges across them. And sometimes you end up fighting on these ridges. And sometimes the enemies you come across have a blowback attacks.
That is not a list of things that are okay.
Yes, and guess what happens if you're midway up the mountain and you get hit by a blowback attack and you're facing just the wrong direction?
Well, you're basically fucked.
Yep. You go fly.
Yeah, you go fly, and you already take pretty serious fall damage from just falling a couple of stories. So imagine what happens.
Pancake.
Yeah, pretty much pancake. It's not a good scene. There's this one enemy in particular that's like a... I like to think that it's sort of like a combination of a scorpion and a Bulbasaur from Pokemon. And it has what it calls its leaping mace technique, where it turns around and then it smacks you with its like large bulbous plant-like tail. And on top of hurling you backward, it also hurls it forward, so you end up having to chase it to start attacking it again.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. And remember, this is one of those games where attacks are automatic, so you have to be within range to fight it. But it's fun. It's okay. Fortunately, also, leveling up is actually, I have noticed, is surprisingly a lot quicker than it was in the first Xenoblade. One of the big problems I had with the first Xenoblade was the fact that leveling up could be a hassle, and it required a lot of grinding. Well, here what you can do is you can, if you fight enough enemies, of course, you can grind like normal if you want, but depending on the amount of fighting you do, you can also go to an inn, and while you're sleeping at the inn, you can also level yourself up there if your, you know, your level up meter and your experience is high enough. It's actually pretty handy. I'm like up at level 26 now, so... So that's Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Still a lot of fun. Let's see, what else? Well, I'm still, as far as my regular reading goes, I'm reading Alfred Bester, his two famous books, The Demolished Man and The Star Is My Destination, aka Tiger Tiger. Both of those books are sort of considered to be some of the predecessors of modern cyberpunk, even though they were published all the way back in the 50s originally. It's also virtually impossible to make these books into movies because the type of concepts that it revolves around, like The Demolished Man, for example, is basically about psychic detectives. And in that book, what they call demolition is when you go into a person's subconscious and relive sort of their past through that subconscious. And the problem is that because it's the subconscious, things don't always pass logically. Like, it operates on, like, dream logic. Uh-huh. So, yeah. It's good stuff, though, and I highly recommend both of them. Very entertaining books. And, of course, yes, I do have it on my computer, a copy of Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury. And I'm going to be talking about that shortly. But, yes, I got it. I had to get it on my computer because the hardcover editions here in Macon were all sold out. Yeah. Went to Barnes & Noble. We got one Barnes & Noble in town, and it was all sold out. And we don't have any Borders or Books A Millions here. So we used to have a Books A Million. It closed, though.
Yeah.
So it was either that or...
Almost a regional thing.
Yeah. It was either that or it was Gottwalls, which is the used book place. And they had sold their few copies, too. So... As you can guess, I was in a bit of a bind. I just said, screw it, I'll go Amazon, get it on my Kindle.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's going to segue into our next part of the show, which is everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid, Fire and Fury Edition. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So... Before I go any further, I need to put a couple of caveats here. Number one, I'm only halfway through. Okay?
Okay.
Number two, there's only so much of this book that can be corroborated by sources other than Michael Wolff. Wolff claims that he has a lot of this stuff recorded, but he has refused to release the recordings. He said, because I'm not in the recording business, I'm in the writing business. So some of this stuff you have to take with a grain of salt because only Michael Wolff knows if it's true or not. Okay? And third, and this is one of the things that Wolff himself had to make plain several times. Everything you read in this book, of course, Wolff says he had over 200 interviews from several different people within the Trump administration, right? And the Trump campaign.
Right.
And the problem, as he has admitted, is basically every single person is trying to stab each other. So he ends up getting one view from one person and one view from another person, and it was basically his unfortunate task to have to reconstruct various events from that.
Well, that in and of itself is telling.
Yeah. Okay, so first big thing, and basically the sort of basic premise the book begins with, Donald Trump was never supposed to be president.
I could believe that.
The idea was that he was going to lose by a respectable margin. And then he was going to team up with Roger Ailes and start what would be the equivalent of the Trump News Network. Ivanka and Jared were going to use the, you know, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner were going to use the clout and the publicity they got from this whole campaign, and they were going to use it to start off their own political aspirations. Specifically, Ivanka was also later going to run for president and be the first woman president. And, of course, if she didn't, then Jared would come after her.
Okay.
Steve Bannon was basically going to be the new leader of what we now call the Tea Party, even though I think all four of us can agree the Tea Party pretty much is now non-existent.
Yeah.
And when the news came, the book says literally when the news came that they had won the election, Eric Trump himself basically said that his dad looked like he'd just seen a ghost. and that Melania Trump said she started weeping tears, but not of joy.
Well,
I'm sure sizable stains started to form underneath all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I stayed up that night when he made his acceptance speech.
Yeah.
He did not look like he expected any of that.
No. So. Well, there's like a photograph that was taken at Trump campaign HQ when they found out that they had won. And, you know, he was there. Steve Bannon was there. Roger Stone was there. And every single one of them looked like they had just just watched the Challenger explosion.
Oh, shit. Now we got to do stuff.
Yeah, their faces were just a look of blank lack of belief that this actually happened. So as for like the overall thing about Trump himself, the basic thing that it shows that it puts forth is that in the Trump White House, Trump is not the captain of the ship. Trump is the steering wheel, and everyone else every sailor on the ship is fighting over which way to steer it.
Oh, that's a fantastic mental image.
Yeah. He doesn't really have any ideas. He basically is using it as, you know, just he's pretty much entirely in it for the gratification, you know, and the grandeur and the pomp and all that.
Yeah, if you remember when they launched the missiles into Syria, mm-hmm. he was with Xi Jinping mm-hmm. from China. And he talked about how he was talking to him about why they don't go in and stop North Korea.
Yeah.
And all it took was like 10 minutes of talking to him about that and completely changed his view on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing thing. It takes 10 minutes to completely change his mind on things.
Yeah.
That he thinks he's solved.
Mm-hmm. What else? If you're looking for anything about like some grand revelation of like any kind of Russia collusion or anything like that, you're not really going to find it in here. Mostly because if it happened, it would have been outside of where Michael Wolff's sphere of influence was, because he was mostly hanging out inside the White House. So anything like that. In fact, I'm halfway through the book, and the Russia thing is only mentioned once so far. Again, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means that Wolf wasn't there. So, let's see, what else? Weirdly enough, some of these people, like Kellyanne Conway of all people, actually come off a bit more competent than you think they would. And that's especially infuriating because it means that they really do think we're that stupid.
Lovely.
And let's see, what else?
There was a whole bit with Kellyanne Conway this week where Trump was doing his usual Twitter tantrum about Hillary Clinton. And she's on TV later on. It's like, nobody's talking about Hillary Clinton around here anymore.
She says, as her boss had just talking about him, like, what was it, like 30 minutes prior?
Yeah, like earlier that day, yeah.
Let's see, what else? Apparently, Steve Bannon, despite all the jokes, doesn't actually drink. At least not in public. one of the early stories they tell about when they're getting ready to sort of engineer this whole thing to begin with is a meeting between Roger Ailes, Steve Bannon, and trying to remember who the third guy was. I think it was Robert Mercer. I could be wrong. I have to go back. Basically, like the first thing. So both Ailes and Mercer are like in their nice, you know, dinner suits and everything. And then in walks Steve Bannon through the front door. He's like disheveled and like his trademark wearing, you know, two button-up shirts, one on top of the other, with like a flannel jacket and cargo pants. And apparently Roger Ailes pours him a glass of wine And Steve pushes it and says, "No, thank you. I don't drink." Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But really, yeah, it is 100%. Freaking Mitch McConnell actually comes off as kind of a hero here, because he's like the first guy to basically tell Donald, "Dude, you're not qualified to do this shit." Oh yeah, and then there's that now infamous story that everybody knows now, but it's first broken in this book, of where I don't think it was McConnell, it was somebody from the RNC explaining the Constitution to him, and, you know, him basically losing interest by the Fourth Amendment. Like, it literally says, like, I can see his, you know, his finger dripping down his lip and his eyes rolling back in his head. And, Rupert Murdoch shows up in this, too. Because, again, you know, Murdoch is the head of this global media conglomerate, and he's heavily involved in conservative politics and on every level. And he's basically trying to get some message through to Donald Trump. Trump won't take it, and he just puts the phone down. He goes, "What a fucking idiot." Yeah, so that really is just the cusp of all of this, I need to tell you. Let me put it this way. If this book is like 90% false and only 10% fact, it in and of itself should be extremely worrying. Because if there really is no Russian collusion, this all in itself is enough to really make you concerned. Because it's essentially a rudderless ship. I know I keep using the ship analogy, but that's really the best way you can put it. Donald is really just a catalyst for all these different people around him whose sole intention is to basically use him to piggyback on their own power.
Yeah.
That's it. And every single one of them is willing to stab the other in the back to get further ahead. They are the most mercenary individuals you will ever meet.
Well, didn't Grover Norquist call this years ago?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is "we're not looking for fearless leader" rant.
Yeah, yeah. And basically the way the book puts it is that in percentage-wise, the majority of the individuals in the administration as of now are those mercenary-type individuals. They're like 50%. Then there's like 30% people who are basically sycophants. Like, it doesn't really matter who's in power. They just want to suck up to those in power.
Yeah.
There's the 10% Trumpist true believers, and then there's the 10% Bannonites, and most of those guys are long gone. So, yes, you should definitely be concerned. And I want to, as far as, like, whether or not this book is factual, or, you know, how much truth and how much fiction is in it, I want everyone to consider this. If you go on Amazon right now, you can find a dozen different books about the Trump administration, about the Russia collusion, the backroom deals, and all of that stuff. There's a famous book. There's a book there I actually recommend called Deal with the Devil, which is basically about the teaming up between Trump and Steve Bannon. And yet, of all those books, this is the one that Donald Trump decided to go after.
Yep, that should tell you something.
Because here's the thing. If it was 100% false, Donald Trump wouldn't care. I know that sounds weird, but it's true.
Yeah, because he's said things like, "Oh, the leaks are true, but the news is fake."
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't even make sense.
No.
Yeah. So, like I said, I haven't gotten that far in the book. Oh, also, Trump may be a racist piece of shit, but he doesn't really have any beliefs about putting that stuff through. For him, it's entirely about gain. But that's pretty much all I can say about it right now. I do. If you have a reading device and you can't get a hardcover copy, I would recommend getting digital copy and reading it. It's not a terribly long book. It's only 300-something pages. It's very easy to read. It's kind of written in kind of a tabloidy type way. So, you know.
Fitting.
Yeah. Just to remember that of all the books about Trump, this is the one he's actually going after, which should be telling you something.
Yeah.
And yeah,
they even sent Stephen Miller onto what, Jake Tapper's show.
Oh, yeah.
Basically just shill whatever Trump told him to do.
And Jake Tapper wasn't having any of it either. He literally shut him down and cut his mic.
Once he realized he wasn't there to do any discussion.
Right. But, Fire and Fury, read it today. Mm. And that has been this edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yep. Now, instead of Fire and Fury, we have Rapid Fire Assholes. So.
Yep. Oh, right. So, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we got to start with our Assholes of the Week. And our first Assholes of the Week is disgraced and convicted felon, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's going to be running for Senate this fall.
You thought Roy Moore was bad.
Oh, yeah. You thought Roy Moore was bad.
It's like, man, you found, like, one of a handful of people that would have been a worse choice.
Yeah. Is he running for Arizona? Or
yeah. He's running for, was it Jeff Flake's?
Jeff Flake's spot? Old seat? Yeah. Because Flake is retiring, isn't he?
Yeah.
Joe Arpaio's group of sycophants are the absolute worst. They really are.
Does he have a snowball's chance in hell of actually winning?
He's actually like one of like four convicted felons that are going to be running for Republicans this fall.
Oh, that's heartening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much of a chance he has because he does not have a great reputation in Arizona. Well,
also keep in mind that, you know, he actually, the reason he's no longer sheriff is because he lost his last election. Yeah. So
he got beat by a Democrat.
Yeah. In Arizona. Consider that. So I don't want to say he doesn't have a good chance because, unfortunately, assholes like him have a tendency to clutter together and make an even bigger pile of shit.
Also, November 2016 happened, so anything's on the table at this point.
Yeah, but I'm going to be optimistic and say that he's going to get trounced because, again, he doesn't have a very good reputation in Arizona.
Yeah.
And also, Arizona is on the fast track to becoming a blue state within a couple of decades. So, if that. Now on from one immigration asshole to the Organization of Immigration Assholes. ICE. ICE. They conducted raids on nearly 100 7-Eleven stores for illegal immigrants this week.
And they only got 21 people.
Yep.
It's a great use of our taxpayer money.
Yeah. Not a great time. Return on investment there.
No. So I'm just going to say it now. If you are in a community of immigrants or recent immigrants or migrant workers or whatever, or if you've got friends or fuck it, you just hate the man, don't cooperate with ICE. Don't tell them nothing. Don't see nothing. Don't even acknowledge them. Because fuck them.
Yeah. Bunch of jerks.
They don't deserve your respect.
Yeah.
They do nothing but break up families. They're the absolute lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Screw them. Speaking of lowest of the low, we have our third asshole of the week. And this one, I think, happened yesterday.
Yep.
Sounds right.
All right. So, President Trump had a bipartisan get-together talking about immigration. There was an immigration deal that they were getting ready to do. It had been bipartisan. They'd been working on it for the past, I think it was like 4 months. And while they're talking about it, he pipes up and says, why do we have all these people from shithole countries coming over here? And by shithole countries, he was referring to specifically Haiti, El Salvador, and various African nations.
I'm sure that.
And then he went further and said, we should be inviting more other people from, say, Norway. Gee, I wonder what the difference is between people from Haiti and people from Norway.
Money.
I don't think he understands the point of immigration.
Hmm. Oh, I wasn't talking about money. Seriously, what is a big difference between the population of Haiti and the population of Norway?
No, color.
There we go. Bingo. And see, that would have been bad enough if he hadn't mentioned the Norway thing afterwards, because then that made his intentions even clearer.
Yeah.
In fact, he specifically took a giant shit on Haiti. Because for those who don't remember, for some bizarre reason, Donald Trump really hates Haitians. It's just, I mean, he said that they all have AIDS, that they're thieves, just shit that goes back like 20 years. I don't really know why. And here's the thing. People are trying to sort of turn it around and say, like, well, he's not wrong. Haiti is kind of a shitty country. I'm like, that's not the point, jackass. Yeah. He wasn't talking about the countries themselves. He was talking about the people coming from them.
Yeah.
Immigrating from them.
Yeah.
And not, you know, when then bringing up Norway, which, by the way, you know how many total Norwegian immigrants came to the United States last year? About 100.
Yeah.
Because, Norway
has... Why downgrade?
Yeah, why downgrade? Because unlike in the U.S., healthcare is free in Norway.
Yeah.
Pretty much any standard of living.
Yeah. Also, believe it or not, Norway, actually pretty racially diverse.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows that. There are plenty of non-whites who live in Norway.
Yeah.
And have, for quite a long time. But, yeah, so don't let people try and turn it around, because it's very obvious what he was saying.
Yeah.
You couldn't make it any more transparent. He'd basically have to flash the N-word to make it any more transparent.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think even...
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I was going to say it's only a matter of time before I was going to say even he's not that big of a doofus, but...
Well, he's clearly not an intellectual.
No.
No. And if the dementia has anything to go by, his filter is wearing away faster and faster.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the one where... sort of branching off from that, it's also basically the week where the media collectively finally said they had had enough of Donald Trump and weren't going to give his sycophants the time of day anymore.
Yeah, because no, Lemon on CNN was basically said he's just being a racist. We have no reason to give him any more chances.
Yeah, and then what happened was he was having that panel discussion, and there was that one dude who, of course, is the Trump sycophant. He said, well, it's not about race, which is an easy thing to take it to, and lazy. It's about economics. And he basically goes on to insult Don Lemon a couple of times before Don Lemon says, you know what, can we cut his mic and take him off the screen?
Yeah. It's always a good idea to insult the host.
Yeah. It was... pretty epic moment, I'm not going to lie, but it's pretty much just, it's like, you know, the media just isn't going to screw around with Trump anymore.
No.
You know, they've been sort of beating around the bush with a lot of this shit, and they finally decided, no, we're not going to just sit back and take it anymore.
Yeah, he's had a year to change and hasn't done anything.
Right. But anyway, so... Then, of course, we have our last final asshole of the week. You remember James Damore? He was the guy who sent out that really, frankly, just dumb and tactless memo.
Oh, yeah, the Google guy.
Yeah, throughout Google
yeah.
about how women aren't really good programmers and all this stuff because, you know, they bleed out their lady parts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's come back and he's going to be suing Google for discrimination against white conservative men.
Yeah, I think he's going after a class action.
Yeah. By the way, for the record, there's been, people have been noting problems as far as diversity goes with Google for quite a few years now. Mm-hmm. So this isn't exactly, he isn't really like making any big splash here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like it's just a bunch of people trying to get down on Whitey. No, Google is pretty much all Whitey.
Well, no. One of their founders is Russian.
Their current CEO is Indian.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They're working on it.
Yeah, it's working. They're
trying, yeah. But, yeah, he's really not. This is grandstanding, yeah. Really.
Yeah, I saw a good sort of summary of all this is that they're basically trying to embarrass Google. Because he is basically, like, all of his evidence of this stuff, like anti-conservative postings and such,
mm-hmm.
A lot of it is people talking about Nazis, like punching Nazis, Nazi jokes,
yeah,
shit that he takes personally.
I wonder why
he'd take that personally.
It's basically like lots of memes and this stuff, and. Basically just wanting to out all these people from these internal Google forums.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's doing this suit with one other guy, Dave Goodman, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he got fired for?
Gee, I wonder.
Suggesting a woman, a Muslim woman, might have terrorist ties. she was talking in some forum post about how she was being investigated by the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And he noted that she had been to Pakistan recently.
Mm-hmm.
That might be why she was getting investigated. And other stuff like that.
I don't think this is going to go very far. The courts have to agree to a class action, and I don't think they really have a leg to stand on here.
Yeah, so. it's just...
There's a section in here about furries, complaining that they have their own news lists and such, and
yes.
There isn't one for heterosexual men.
Oh, for mother!
It's like
I think that would be the rest of the internet
of all this. You don't need your recognition. This is why there are people that try to have straight pride parades.
Yeah, it's like that whole it's like, well, isn't there a White History Month?
It's the whole conservative thing that those people do of, well, aren't you the real racist for not tolerating my intolerance, sort of thing. That's what this all screams to me.
It is unbelievably childish, just to the extreme. I'm like, what kind of freaking like privileged upper class bourgeois childhood did this little shit weasel grow up in?
Yeah.
Seriously, like, this is fucking Silicon Valley, I swear.
Yeah, go drink your raw pond water and, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah,
yeah, that's fun. Yeah, well, anyway, to wipe that taste out of our mouths, we are, of course, are going to follow all of that up with our hero of the week, just to show you that, yes, there is still goodness in the world. And we have two heroes of the week. The first is a group of Trump-appointed regulators who this week rejected Rick Perry's coal and nuclear plan.
Yeah, this plan was basically to prop up the struggling nuclear and coal companies that are supplying power to the nation's power grid.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to give them government assistance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And four of the five people voting on this from the regulation group are Trump appointed.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. They basically told Rick Perry to go fuck himself.
Yep.
With this plan.
Even the Trump-appointed individuals are sick of this.
Yeah, because they basically
Remember what I said earlier about how basically everyone in the Trump administration wants to stab each other in the back?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah, because we should be moving towards, you know, natural gas, solar power, yeah, all that sort of stuff too.
Wind power.
Yeah. Stuff that's going to be
hydroelectric, stuff
cleaner,
like that.
Renewable energy that,
yeah,
is going to bring more jobs.
Yes.
Which is a thing that Trump wants, apparently, but doesn't know how to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, Trump wants a lot of things that he doesn't know how to do. That's just Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know a big figure in all this is that Murray Energy was pushing for this thing, which, if you know John Oliver, he's been very critical of him in the big episode they did on coal.
Mm-hmm.
Where now they're in a defamation lawsuit.
Yep.
With them.
Oh, that guy, the one that constantly sues everyone that badmouths him and his company.
Mm-hmm. He called it geriatric Dr. Evil.
Yep.
Accurate.
And guy who's so hated by his own employees, when they sent out like royalty checks, it wasn't really royalty checks, but it was like that sort of small sort of amount of money for how much coal they mined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't opt out of it. They had to essentially write void on the check and send it back. And some of them wrote, "Eat shit, Bob."
And sent that back.
Yeah.
Technically, that does void a check, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's... when people are turning down money, even as small of an amount like that,
yeah,
you know you done fucked up, and it might be time to have a little bit of self-criticism there, Al.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the guys that's running for office, the Senate, is a coal CEO.
Mm-hmm.
One John talked about, I said it's time for donuts guy.
Yeah.
From the 80s, from Dunkin' Donuts thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was wearing like complete American flag outfit.
Yeah.
He's running. Yeah. He went to jail for a year for a number of his people dying in the mines.
Mm. Yep.
Because of an accident, and people are not happy that he only got 1 year.
But that's not our own
parachute of like $80 million. Like, oh, that's an awfully nice parachute to rebound with.
Rebound off. I'm sure all those dead miners would have appreciated a little bit of that. Kept they can't because they're dead.
Yeah.
Next, they should be having more, putting out more legislation to help get these coal miners and people working in the nuclear facilities ways to transition to other industries and get new jobs because their stuff is not permanent by any means. Like, hey, help these people out instead of claiming you're going to get them back to work when everybody that runs these businesses knows there's not this big big list of jobs for them.
All right, well that isn't our only heroes of the week. We got one more, and it's Senator Dianne Feinstein, a woman I'm personally not all that fond of, considering her love of secrecy and wars. But she actually did a good thing this week. You know that fusion GPS testimony that the Senate has been trying to release for a while now but keeps getting blocked?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dianne Feinstein basically said fuck it, and she released it on the internet.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot there. They're pretty sure about the Russian connections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very long. But I saw some cool stuff that basically suggested that it was there were two senators basically running this thing, Republican Chuck Grassley and Democrats Dianne Feinstein.
Yep.
And Chuck Grassley, his line of questioning early on, as is typical with these sorts of committee testimony interviews sort of things, it's all about trying to discredit the people they're interviewing or anything like that. So they were honing in on, you know, where'd you get the money from to do this from? Mm-hmm. You're getting paid by Democrats or whoever, all this stuff. And they basically managed to, you know, answer the questions as best they could, mm-hmm. and not fall for their traps. And once it got to Dianne Feinstein, it basically got back on track to the actual meat of what they were going to be talking about. They definitely, this article highlights a number of the most interesting points. Like there's a little bit about how there's already one person that died because of the Christopher Steele dossier. It's about how he basically severed ties with the FBI once he started seeing more evidence that Trump was meddling with them, and didn't want to risk, you know, blowing his information by just letting them sort of waste it. You know, that he has tons of business deals, a lot involved in the criminal parts of Russia's businesses. Lots of that stuff. They've worked with the lawyer, the Russian lawyer that met Don Jr. On a separate, unrelated case, but they have definitely worked with her, so they know of her. Christopher Steele was extremely concerned that Trump was being blackmailed. That was very much a big thing that he had obviously gotten into the hole with them. Talk about how, you know, he went over there for real estate business but didn't sign any deals.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff being very, very sketchy.
Yeah, it's been basically sort of theorized that he went over there for a bunch of Russian prostitutes. It's believed that either, you know, the Russian mob or an oligarch, which is usually one and the same, got videotapes of him doing this, and they're basically using it to blackmail him. Specifically, of course, the big joke has been, you know, the quote-unquote pee-pee tape. But basically that's sort of what he's talking about here.
So, a lot of good reading there. And hats off to Senator Feinstein for just
And of course, Chuck Grassley isn't happy.
And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to talk to him about this. That sort of stuff.
But what's even more fun is that
the good old do the thing that they don't want you to do and then apologize for it later.
And then, of course, you know, Donald himself goes on Twitter calling her sneaky Dianne Feinstein.
Trying to suggest that what she did was illegal, and it's not.
No, it's not illegal.
It's not classified information or anything like that.
Yeah. I also would ignore the sneaky part if it weren't for the fact that Dianne is Jewish. And I don't know if he's smart enough to make that connection.
Probably not.
All right, so now it is time for this proper show proper. All right, so first thing in the night, Sarah Silverman, definitely one of my favorite comedians. She had a really awesome show on Comedy Central for a while, the Sarah Silverman program, which was written, directed, produced, and showrun by Rob Schraub, who not only was the guy but who was going to be the director of the second Lego movie, but he was also the creator of Scud the Disposable Assassin. And she's been nude a couple of times.
Good to know.
Just wanted to bring that up. including in one indie movie where she masturbated with a teddy bear.
Okay.
I'm not making that up. Try getting that out of your head before you go to sleep tonight.
Not going to happen.
Anyway, so apparently she was on Twitter, and she was getting trolled by this random douchebag. And, you know, it's really easy, you know, if some douchebag is trolling you like this and go and say, you know, fuck you, go back to your mom's basement, blah, blah, blah. But Ms. Silverman had a bit of an epiphany at some point. She said, you know, are you okay, dude? Like, is everything all right? You healthy? Your financial system all right? And what happened was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's actually a really great story.
Yeah, so basically what happens is there's this Twitter exchange, right? And Sincere, she basically says, at some point she says, are you Jeremy's, at some point, okay, so the whole sort of Twitter exchange is loading for me right now, but basically it starts off with this guy basically just saying shitty shit because he's being a troll, you know, so no shock there. And at some point, she just, I guess, throws him a compliment or something. Like, it's okay, you're loved, you know. And he says, you know, I can't choose love, a woman, you know, a person a lot like Kevin Spacey did something to me a long time ago. Basically admitting that he was molested at some point, which is... And Sarah's like, you know, are you okay? Are you... Yeah, you know, apparently this dude revealed that he was having severe back issues.
Yep.
And she's like, okay, so not judging, are you self-medicating because of it? And it turned out that he was having to abuse opioids, basically.
Yeah, he was smoking weed and doing other stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and she's, you know, and he's basically filled with anger at the person who did that to him, and she's like, you know, it's okay because I want to kill that son of a bitch too, but it's not going to bring the healing that you need. And so not only did she, you know, say, you know, keep me up to date, I want to know if you're getting help or everything. She actually reached out to the community that he was in to get him some help.
One of the biggest signal boosts ever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And she got it.
Yeah, he got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Get a chance to read the whole thing. It is amazing.
Yep.
It's like... It basically is like... It makes you remember that... When you're getting trolled by a person, remember that there's a good chance that the reason they're doing that is because they're hurt.
Yep.
And they don't know how to express that hurt. They may be going through some serious issues and they're not sure how to... You know, they don't have the help that they need or can't get it. It's not available to them. They might have some serious mental issues that need to be dealt with, psychological or psychiatric. And unfortunately, you know, mental health, treatment is not the best in the United States right now. Mm-hmm. Give it a read. It will restore your faith in humanity a little bit.
Yeah.
And now with that, more Trump news. Pretty much we now know that Trump's workday doesn't start until 11 in the morning due to his quote unquote private executive time.
Which
now that can
watches...
mean any number of things.
Yeah, we are pretty sure it means he watches Fox News and tweets about it.
Yeah.
Because his tweets stop about 11 o'clock when the show ends.
Yeah.
And he also tweets at them as well.
Yeah. And then he works for like an hour or 45 minutes, and then he takes another 15 minutes of executive time, and then he works for another hour or two, and then another 15, and then his day is pretty much done by around 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So all in all, he probably does maybe 3 hours of work a day at max.
Yeah, unless he's traveling.
Yeah. Or he's golfing.
They call it work.
So people that have been following the president's schedule, notice how it starts later and later.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, it's... You know, I'm pretty sure when Obama was president, he worked like 12, 13-hour days. Like, minimum.
Pretty sure.
But,
yeah. It's hard to tell, though, because he wasn't there tweeting all the time, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it says here George Bush arrived in the Oval Office by about 6:45 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, let's see, worked out first thing in the morning, usually got into the Oval Office between 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Though he usually worked late.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
It says Trump's days in the Oval Office are relatively short, from about 11 to 6.
Hmm. Yeah.
7 hours at most.
Imagine if you got paid $400,000 a year to work 11 to 6.
Nice job if you can get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just another her piece of garbage on pile of a shit sandwich. It's
another tidbit to
yeah.
Now we got now one executive time to go along with Mario time.
Yeah, but
unfortunately, one means you're not working, the other one means you're really working hard.
But here's a good thing though, because we got another good story to go after this one. So. FCC repealed net neutrality. And AgitPi is an asshole.
Yes.
In other news, water is wet, the sky is blue, and the Big Bang Theory stopped being funny years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Senate Dems, they're not having it, and they're going to be forcing a vote on overturning the repeal.
Hmm.
Yeah, so... they're supposed to have the 30 votes necessary to force this vote, which is not hard since they have 49 members in the Senate. Mm-hmm. They have the ability to do this vote to potentially nullify recently passed regulations,
mm-hmm.
which would be what the FCC did.
Yeah. I believe this is called the Congressional Review Act that they're going to be invoking and going for a resolution of disapproval, which doesn't need a full majority, only needs a minor majority. So I think they can get it.
They can pull this off.
The big problem is if they get this approved, it still has to go to the House.
Mm. Yeah.
Get past there and... as well as get signed by the president.
Yeah.
Who is against it because he thinks net neutrality is the Monroe Doctrine for conservative websites.
Exactly.
Well, sooner or later, he's actually going to have to do what his constituents want him to do. So.
Yeah.
And the majority of the country wants... net neutrality. Yeah.
By a sizable and undeniable majority.
Yeah.
It is clearly a bipartisan position.
Yeah. Yes. So. All right, so...
He needs to tell Trump that net neutrality is the thing he actually wants to make sure nobody can try to snuff out conservative sites.
Mm. Yeah. But, all right, now to another example of just how... being adjacent famous. So back in 2008, this professor in Canada released this nonfiction book that was about the bombing of Germany. As everyone knows, during World War II, there was an extensive bombing campaign over the Reich from Allied bombing forces. The book was called Fire and Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what other book, also called Fire and Fury, came out this week?
Yeah, that old Trump one.
Yeah. And because of that, this book actually went up in the sales ranks. It's actually the number 3rd nonfiction bestseller on Amazon.
Yeah. Now, this worries me a little bit because... there's probably a lot of people who didn't bother looking at the cover or reading the Amazon description.
Yeah, the title of the book is even not 100% the same because there's subtitles that are just Fire and Fury, the Allied Bombing of Germany, 1942 to 1945.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you miss that?
Versus Fire and Fury inside the Trump White House.
Which has a big old picture of Trump right on the cover.
Yeah. Shouldn't be this, hard, but apparently yeah, that's too much.
This is like when the Trumpers were trying to get a Trump book on the bestsellers list to counter Hillary Clinton's book. And they ended up buying one of multiple books and then splitting their numbers.
Dope.
Whoop. And the dude himself is that the professor who wrote the book himself is that he's not really sure how many actual copies total that will be sold and kept until his royalty check comes in. So that's kind of the end of that story.
Yeah, basically. It's just, okay, people don't read the descriptions.
Yeah, wow. But on the other hand, Michael Wolff should feel good that his book is such a major deal that even books that resemble the title that he has are becoming bestsellers in and of themselves.
Yeah, I'm looking at the bestseller list right now, and Fire and Fury has the top three slots.
Yep.
So it's the Kindle edition, the hardcover, and then the Audible edition.
Yep.
I'm not sure where his book is on here now.
Yeah.
It's probably gone down once people realize, hey, that's not the book.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, it may have happened, gone down already, but for a little while that was the case. So, all right, next story is out of Louisiana. Oh, you were going to hate this one. So there was a school board meeting. With a hearing, the superintendent of the school board was going to be getting a $38,000 raise, and they were going to vote on it. And then there was this one teacher who came forward to make known, saying this is just not a good idea. We're all, living paycheck to paycheck over here, and we're still trying to teach all these kids, having to get supplies out of our own pocket, which you refuse to supply us funds for. And this is just a bad thing. And so then they have the vote. The vote is 3-2 in favor. So she comes forward, and of course she is pissed off, as she should be. And then one of the guys on the board basically calls in this police guy who was being paid to be there to do security, basically forces her out, handcuffs her, throws her on the ground. It's pretty sickening. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, seems like a great way to handle dissent.
Boy, where do I start with this one?
Especially at a school board hearing where the whole point is asking questions and raising concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, technically, it wasn't supposed to be a question-answer session, which is something they made clear earlier. But it was like a moment of comment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it shouldn't have happened anyway, because even if it wasn't a question or answer session, she was asking questions that needed to be answered.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's not an arrestable offense.
No.
But, so the board called the cops and said they weren't going to press any charges, but she ended up being registered and put in a cell anyway because apparently she was being charged with resisting arrest, which, by the way, she wasn't.
Hmm.
It's very clear on the footage she was not resisting arrest at all.
Yeah.
And she actually had to be bonded out. Oh, and by the way, the superintendent himself, he is absolutely unrepentant.
Of course he is.
He is just the worst kind of asshole.
He got his. That's all he cares about. And you wonder why the American educational system is in the shitter.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Now from one grade of asshole to another grade of asshole entirely. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been a banner day for assholes.
Keep firing, assholes.
Everybody's favorite company in the world, Walmart. They announced that they were going to raise the minimum wage for every Walmart employee. Thanks to tax cut, they were moving it up to $11. Yay!
And bonuses for veteran employees.
Yay! Everybody celebrate! Happy, yay, Walmart! And then they immediately closed 63 Sam's Clubs and fired all the people, let loose, I think, a few hundred employees without even a day's notice.
So.
Yeah, they basically showed up to work as well as customers showing up.
Uh-huh.
To a big sign, note on the door that says, hey, work closed.
Yep.
Jeez.
That's the greatest way of getting laid off.
Yep. This is classic, don't pay attention to what the left hand is doing while the right hand does something else.
Yep.
Now, it's like, hey, all these things that are being done supposed to be for the tax cuts,
mm-hmm.
There are consequences for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They don't get that money from nowhere.
Yeah. And by the way, if it hasn't affected you yet, just wait a few months.
Mm-hmm.
It will. Probably in ways you never thought possible.
Mm. Yeah, because these are corporations.
Yes, they are legally bound to make a profit, and they will do anything they possibly can, moral or immoral, legal or illegal, to make a profit.
Mm-hmm. To make a bigger profit than before.
Yeah.
And this wasn't illegal, but definitely immoral.
It is Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me and Patrick both have worked for Walmart before.
Yep. I am the least surprised person in the world right now.
Yep. We both know what Walmart will pull,
and from what I've heard, some of these Sam's Clubs are even like the main place in town where you can go to buy your groceries and such.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
So now those people
not anymore.
Like, what are we going to do now?
Yeah. See, that's the worst part about Walmart. They'll come in, they'll basically sap the business vitality of an entire town, become basically the sole place you can get everything, and then they'll just close down up and abandon the town and leave it a husk.
Mm-hmm. So, yay Walmart.
Mm.
Can't believe I considered sending an application in there.
If it helps, pretty much everyone in our age group will have worked at Walmart at some point.
Yeah.
They're like one of the top
10
employers in North America.
My honest opinion is that there are good Walmarts and bad Walmarts to work at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are good Walmart stores to work in and bad Walmart stores to work in. Yeah. Problem is, they're all run by the same worst corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just typical of any business.
Yeah.
There's always stupidity in every business.
Well, I'm just saying a good management team could go a long way.
Yeah. That being said, other retail outlets don't also have a giant cult of personality around their founder.
No.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I've been in Walmarts when I was getting my car's oil changed. Happened to be there when they were doing the chanting sessions.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, too, because they have this cult of personality around the company, and the person that's geared toward would be rolling around in his grave at some of the things.
Sam Walton.
Yeah.
that was a hell of a morning when I got in. It's like, are people singing?
Yes, the they are.
I heard like the meeting part where they're just like talking about news and such. Then they start singing. I'm like, what the hell did I walk into?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go now.
I'm just gonna keep looking at this weird Wii section that is in 2017.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well. Speaking of retailers, here's one you haven't heard about in a while. Circuit City.
Yeah, they've been gone for a while.
Guess what? They're coming back.
Hmm. Sort of.
On February 15th, they will be returning as a web store with retail kiosks to follow.
Yep. And that's a hell of a thing.
Don't think anybody cares.
I like Circuit City back in the day.
Yeah. I liked it when you could go there, but
yeah,
not so sure.
That's where I got my copy of Warcraft.
Yeah, not so sure I'd care so much.
And not World of Warcraft. I mean Warcraft Orcs and Humans, the original one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wow,
I got one of those too.
I got the box set.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so. That was fun. they did. I will tell. They did have a pretty awesome PC game section back in the day.
Yeah,
I will give them that.
Yeah, when those were a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's the, here's where you can get Minecraft, Sims, and StarCraft.
Yeah.
Steam cards.
But here's various currencies for all your free-to-play games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're obviously under new ownership. They're trying to get things going with this. They're going to have obviously the website launching. I don't know what all they're going to have. I assume just tech and shit like that. But they're also going to have store kiosks, stores within other stores, and eventually their own showrooms.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they're actually going to try to come back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, we can't buy everything on Amazon, can we?
No. Not if you want to. I mean, the more you buy on GameStop, the closer Jeff Bezos ends up becoming undisputed dictator of the world. So, yeah.
So that might be bad.
Yeah. But, all right. Now to, well, you'll see. So H&M have a new sweatshirts that they put out, and there was an ad for a particular sweatshirt that went out, and there was a problem with it. Look at it and take a guess what the issue might be. Oh, yeah, just click that link and take a look. We'll wait.
Yeah. Oh, gee. So for those of, I can't possibly see any problem with that at all.
No.
And you can hear the sarcasm in my voice.
Oh, God, it's so obvious. It's so thick you could cut it with a butter knife. Yeah, so for those of you who are just maybe too lazy to click on that link, we'll go ahead and tell you. The ad is of a little young African-American boy, you know, and he's wearing that sweatshirt, which I believe is green-colored.
I don't think he's African-American. I think he's from Sweden.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah,
but he's, well, he's a he's little African child.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a little cute little green sweatshirt. Okay, all well and good. Now, what does it say on the sweatshirt? It says, "Coolest monkey in the jungle." Yeah.
Oh, guys. No.
No, just, did you not, like, run that by anybody?
Literally anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, H&M. This is what happened. Yeah, this is what happens when you don't particularly have people around the world overlooking this stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're a Swedish company, but they should have people in America be able to look over this stuff and be like, yeah, that's not going to fly over here.
Tried to apologize, as these companies tend to do, and that didn't go over well.
Yeah. It's...
See, I'm pretty sure that that particular slur is not exclusive to America.
No.
I'm pretty sure it's fairly universal in the Western world. Including, I think, Sweden.
Possibly.
His mom got out there and told people to get over themselves. It's like, that's all right. But when they're trying to use his image to sell stuff over here, we also have the ability to respond.
Yeah.
Yes.
And say, that's not right.
No.
But, optics matter, people.
Yeah, especially these days.
Yeah. Anyway, let's, something to a little less awkward,
I guess.
So the sea temperatures at the Great Barrier Reef are rising, and it's getting so bad that green sea turtles are now turning female en masse.
Oh. Yep. So, when they lay their eggs, the temperature of the water helps determine whether that's going to be a male or female turtle.
Hmm. Yep.
Because they're rising, they're turning female more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
The southern population here, they say, was 65 to 69% female. Females in the northern group of this whole test they were looking at, 91% of juveniles were female, 99.8% of subadults were female, and 86.8% of adults were female.
Mm.
This is a problem.
Not great. Yes, this is an issue.
Problem, because it does require both of them for mating, so... Yeah, that's going to wreak havoc on the population in the long term.
Yeah, that's like one out of every 100.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Either that or that one male turtle is going to be really fucking busy.
Yep. Pun intended.
It'll be like the Futurama episode with the Amazon planet.
Yeah. Eat time, snow, snow.
Lots of snow, snow.
Actually, there was another episode of Futurama where they did it. It was the Mutual of Omicron. Where it was like the sort of their take on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Yeah.
And one of them was when the professor is like a tortoise on the Galapagos Islands.
Hmm.
And it's funny stuff. Just yeah. Anyway, I'll stop there.
Futurama is great. Just watch it.
Yes. You don't really need a reason that. Just, yeah.
They're all on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in a further example of a late-stage capitalism, IKEA is now creating ads that are basically pregnancy tests. And you can pee on them. And if it's positive, it'll offer a discount.
Yeah, discount on a crib. Because you peed on this piece of paper.
Well, Scandinavia is a much more open-minded country.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, here's this pee paper. Give me disco.
Yeah.
I just, there's not much I can really say to that. That's just amazing.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, the tech is cool. The actual realities of it is not.
That's so cool.
You don't want to work in that retail when that stuff starts coming in.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we do with the pee papers now? Do we have the hazardous waste bin?
Anyways.
Yeah, so... oh, boy. So, next up. Gwyneth Paltrow is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
She has no knowledge of health or health sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, for some weird reason, she thinks she's some kind of guru.
Yeah.
Next, she has a magazine called Goop.
Yeah. And apparently, one of the things she recommends is a coffee enema.
Yeah, so this is, let's see, this particular coffee enema being shared on Goop is called the Beauty and Wellness Detox Guide. It's being sold for $135.
Yeah.
And she is one of those crazy people that goes in for the hipster health shit that is not actually good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And repeatedly has medical professionals calling her out for stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is another example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, like, these sort of enemas and detoxes are not good for you anyway.
Yeah.
No.
Especially if they're not cleaning the water when they try to do this stuff.
Yes.
They could get you very, very sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is, I don't even want to really think about the they got a picture of the thing there, which is a bottle with a pump on wind and the hose that I guess you stick up there.
Yep. Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, look.
That's not how coffee works, people.
Yeah.
Go to the other end.
Yeah.
It's supposed to give you the shits. It's not supposed to clean out your shits.
Yeah. And for the record, and this is something that needs to be pointed out constantly, colonics in general are not good for you, not just because they're unnecessary, but because they can cause severe damage to your lower intestine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it flushes and out good bacteria you have in there.
Yeah. And you shouldn't want to get rid of all that fecal matter in the first place because it, like good fertilizer, nourishes your body.
Yep.
It has a lot of stuff in it that your body needs.
Yeah, it's like when you suck on a jawbreaker for a while.
Yeah.
You're sucking out all the nice candy stuff out of it.
Yep.
But yeah, like it should be said, your liver is for getting rid of your toxins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it's there for.
Yep.
Your body will handle it, we promised you.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so, see, proponents of colon cleansing believe the toxins from your gastrointestinal tract can cause a variety of health problems such as arthritis, allergies, and asthma. I don't even know how that works.
No.
They believe that colon cleansing improves health by removing toxins, boosting your energy, and enhancing your immune system. However, there's no evidence that colon cleansing produces these effects. Colon cleansing can also cause less serious side effects, such as cramping, bloating, nausea, and vomiting. Last year, Goop published a post about the benefits of using vaginal jade eggs, which were quickly debunked by gynecologists.
Yep.
Shit. Basically, if you're actually into good medical stuff, don't go to Goop.
Nope.
Even if you really like...
Don't go to Goop. Don't go to Natural News. Don't go to any of those places.
Yeah. Don't get your medical advice from an actress.
No.
Yeah.
So. Unless she's also a doctor.
Yeah.
So, sometimes that happens.
Yes.
But not often.
Hugh Jackman was a teacher before he became an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can ask him about educational advice.
Yeah.
He will probably have a good recommendation.
Yep. And then he'll probably want to punch the superintendent in the face.
All right. Next up, in just a god-awful tongue twister, LeVar Ball's Big Baller Brand receives an F from Better Business Bureau. Try and say that five times fast.
So, yeah, LeVar Ball is one of the blights on basketball right now. His son, Lonzo Ball, was the number two pick for the Lakers. But it seems like everybody involved with the Lakers running that team hates him because he runs his mouth, all that. So this was a nice bit of comeuppance where the Better Business Bureau put out their rating for the Big Baller Brand as a business, and they gave him an F. Suggesting that, many complaints were submitted to the Better Business Bureau, suggesting they have not gotten their orders that they paid for, can't contact them directly despite having charged for merchandise, can't get refunds, complaining about incorrect or partial orders, postage labels being wrong, no updating on the tracking, discontinued merchandise being replaced with alternative items, no option for a refund. Those are all legit shitty things that shouldn't be doing.
Pretty much everything wrong you could possibly do, they did.
Yeah. So LeVar responded, said Better Business Bureau is as outdated as the Yellow Pages. Who cares about them? Tell them that Yelp has replaced the Better Business Bureau. No, they haven't.
No.
We honestly thought the Better Business Bureau was out of business. The new BBB stands for the Big Baller Brand.
Boy, aren't you full of yourself.
Yeah. During the holiday shipping stuff.
Hang on a sec.
Okay. Yeah, so sort of responding to some of this stuff, LeVar also said, holiday always slows shipping, but we stay on top of customer service. It's probably Nike and Adidas complaining about not getting their Big Baller Brand merchandise, which they then go on to show that Nike has an A+ rating. And Adidas has a D-. They have a number of complaints from people, as well as people have found out that when they try to call to get their customer service taken care of, they get the mailbox.
Of course.
Hiding under their desks.
Yeah. It says, sorry, that mailbox full. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So they're not even taking care of their mailbox.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So, a number of complaints here. This company does not offer refunds. I purchased two of them and was told there would be 1 to 2 week delay. I've been waiting 6 weeks now. When I asked why it was taking so long, I was called a small baller. At this point, I believe they decided to steal my money. The quality of the shirt I purchased was very poor. I followed washing instructions, and the shirt shrank considerably from adult medium to the youth 10 to 12.
Ooh.
Website doesn't discuss return policy nor returns email complaints. I don't believe in paying $65 for a shirt to be worn once. Here's a good internet complaint. This is stealing! 2! This company should be ashamed of themselves. This is all caps now. Grow up and handle your business! 10! this company should be shut down. It's actually reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty reasonable.
I purchased a pair of the big baller brand ZO2 wet autograph shoes that were advertised as limited availability to purchase nearly $2,000. And the big baller brand company has had my money for 6 months. My problem is that they are replacing the shoe I purchased with a different one, and they are no longer limited availability since they're still for sale on their site. Another one I'm beyond frustrated, and I absolutely will never order from them from this company again. They're like professional and it's ridiculous. My son is a devoted fan, and this is the one gift that he was looking forward to this holiday season. It absolutely breaks my heart that I would invest my money into something only be to let down. I would never recommend them to anyone. And yeah, they got more complaints like that.
Yeah. So, public service announcements from those of us at last weekend. Don't buy from the big baller brand. Not unless you want to lose your money.
Unless you just have a ton of money, you don't care if it never gets back to you.
Yeah.
And this is where you basically just go to your bank and say, yeah, just give me this money back. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Charge back.
Yep.
Yeah, well. All right, so next up, we've got some sports news. So Winter Olympics is coming up. And after making a deal with South Korea, North Korea is actually going to be participating.
Pretty big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, so the Winter Olympics takes place in South Korea.
Yep.
That particularly helps them for making this deal, but I believe North Korea is only going to have two athletes, I think figure skaters. But yeah, they're also going to be sending cheerleaders, a bunch of other people on that sort of level, officials and all that, and they're going to be marching with South Korea, sort of when they do the introduction of all the countries, that's what they're doing. But they also said there's going to be more talks about a variety of other things.
Yeah, this is the first time they've opened back up docks in a few years. So
is it possible somebody up there is coming to their senses or...
Or somebody with that someone is coming to their senses?
Yeah.
Well, you'll know whether or not they, end up getting executed in the next month or so.
Yeah. We'll figure that out pretty soon.
How
many days have they gone without a purge?
It's been a couple months.
Yeah, I haven't checked the calendar lately.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe Kim Jong-un is starting to understand that shit's going downhill. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he just realizes there's going to be all these countries south of the border.
Yep.
And they'd like to be in on the party.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, oh, there's the assholes up north.
Yeah.
We don't talk about them.
So.
Yeah. Well.
We'll see.
Next up in more Winter Olympic news, figure skater Adam Rippon is going to be the first openly gay man to represent the U.S.
Yeah, at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool. He is the oldest of the three that they're sending, which in the interviews they were doing, they were calling him the father of the group. Because I think the other two are 17 or 18, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just been talking about how he's really grateful for the opportunity. And is looking to hopefully be a good role model for others that are closeted.
Yeah.
Because obviously there are probably more gay men that have performed for the U.S. as figure skaters and such.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But it's been taboo to come forward in any of that.
Yeah.
And that's, that's been kind of a problem with national sports in general over the past several decades. Yeah. So at least there's some opening up.
Yeah. Well,
especially with the U.S. Olympics after they got rid of the doctor that was basically funneling all the women gymnasts for many, many years.
Yeah. Oh,
going to prison for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Good.
Well,
shame they didn't stop him sooner.
Yeah. All right. So this next story, I kind of wish Teresa was here because it's Civilization related. So in the upcoming Civilization, they're going to be adding the Kree Nation as one of the factions you can play. And it's being led this time by Chief Poundmaker, who was an actual Kree chief. Thing is, First Nations people are actually kind of afraid that this is going to give people the wrong idea about who Poundmaker was.
Have they played Civilization?
It's true.
I mean, Gandhi is a nuke-heavy warlord.
Yeah.
So...
with borderline personality disorder.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, none of the world leaders in Civilization actually represent their real-life counterparts. So that's why Civilization is so much fun, because you have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
So,
I get their concern about, you know, him not being necessarily represented as what he really is, but that's every person that's represented in that.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing, like, they're concerned also about them being represented as settlers.
Hmm.
And it's like, that's the whole point of the game.
Yeah. It's like, that's kind of how the game works. Everybody is represented as a settler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I don't think that there are tons of players that take everything that happens in the game as fact.
No. You don't play Civilization for historical accuracy. You play it because it's a fun sim.
Mm-hmm.
Though I imagine it probably incites a lot of people to go to Wikipedia and actually learn more about who these people are.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does do that.
Who is this crazy old Indian man wrapped in a shari that wants to nuke me off the face of the earth?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just the guy whose nuke stats were set so low that they just wrapped around and made him really nuke happy.
Anyways.
So, oh, well.
Turkeys?
Yeah, wild turkeys. Yeah, so you thought the turkeys had forgiven us for Thanksgiving. Nope, they were just biding their time. And apparently they are kicking postal carriers' asses in Ohio.
Yeah, so this takes place in Rocky River, Ohio, which I think is near Cleveland. But essentially, there have been a group of wild turkeys that have just been attacking postal carriers. I assume these guys deliver mail by foot in the city. For some reason, they should be getting trucks when they're going to this area. Because it impacts about 20 homes. They're not able to get their mail properly. So I guess due to codified ordinances prohibiting the eradication of the turkeys and the intrinsic difficulties that prohibit trapping them, the city's animal control officer cannot move the turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they got laws keeping these turkeys safe, but they're just causing
havoc. Well, that's an interesting version of a similar problem that we have in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now the city is asking residents to help deter the turkeys by limiting the use of bird seed feeders. They're also going to be adjusting the time when they're trying to deliver this stuff. Also... they end this article on best note. Additionally, mail carriers have been given air horns to protect themselves.
Scare them away. That might work a couple of times. Then it'll just piss them off more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like giving them a rape horn and, like, just blow it whenever the turkeys come after you.
Yeah. Well, next up, in car news, General Motors has unveiled their very first autonomous car without a steering wheel.
Yay! Because if it's autonomous, you don't need a steering wheel.
Yeah.
Or pedals.
Or pedals. Just get in it and looks go like... and pray to God it doesn't do something stupid.
Yeah, it looks like a dashboard for a car, except you copied the passenger half to the driver's side.
Yeah.
So there's just the display right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Tesla looks like, except it still has a steering wheel.
Yeah. It has, like, the touchscreen displays and all that.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Autonomous vehicles are coming. We're not going to see them commercially viable in, you know, probably 5 years at the very least, but they'll sort this stuff out.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, I think GM is saying they want to get these in production by 2019.
Hmm. I could see them used for fleets at the very least. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're saying they're going to be first used for ride-sharing services.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the best place to get them, at least get like the general public used to them.
Because
mm-hmm. just looking at this, it would be really weird to get into a car where there's no steering wheel.
Yeah. Well, right now,
it's like, wait, how do I think of?
There's a autonomous car company that's partnered with Lyft, so you can actually get an autonomous Lyft in Vegas right now.
Yeah.
Nobody's crashed yet, so that's working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's... I think there's been like one or two accidents, and it's usually because of the human involved.
Yeah.
There's still some problems with this stuff because there's safety regulations that they have to abide by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're hoping to get these waived because, you know, you don't need a airbag in it in the steering wheel because there is no steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Well, you should put the airbag someplace else because
that's what they did. They put the airbag in the mirrors at the front right passenger side.
Yeah.
So they have them both in that, like the dashboard by the air conditioning unit.
Mm. Well, next up in math news, I guess.
Definitely math.
An employee over at FedEx has actually discovered the largest prime number so far, with digits that numbers in over 23 million.
We are not going to read this digit.
No.
Nope, not going to happen.
Not even going to try. But how the hell did this happen?
So this guy, his name is John Pace. John Pace.
Mm-hmm.
He does volunteer work with the Great Internet Mersenne Prime Search, GIMS, a project that crowdsources computing power to search for these prime numbers, their subset of prime numbers called Mersenne Primes.
Mm.
Like a normal prime number, these can only be divided by themselves in one, sets them apart so that they can all be expressed as the number 2 raised to a given power minus 1.
Mm.
Mm.
So he just thought this was kind of cool, was using their client, and he just happened to be the one that found it.
Well, I think he was working with the group, and he was the one that publicized this.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, so it can be expressed as 2 to the 7,232,917 power minus 1.
Okay.
Mm. Yep.
And so there was a $100,000 prize attached to finding the first prime that had a 10 million digit result.
I think he did that and then some.
Yeah. And he's been participating in this program for 14 years, and this is his first discovery.
Hmm.
Yep. So that's dedication.
Yeah.
Woo.
Congrats.
Yeah, the previous longest known prime number was about 22 million digits.
Hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, there are prizes for finding larger ones.
Mm-hmm.
$150,000 for finding the first one with 100 million digits.
Hmm. That's not bad.
$250,000 for 1 billion digits.
Yeah.
We've still got a ways to go.
Yeah.
And no, it's not as simple as just putting a couple of extra million zeros at the end.
There's more to it then.
All right.
Got to do by the stupid phone number like 111111. Damn it.
Yeah.
111112. God damn it.
And then Gladys wakes up and kills you.
Yeah. Next up, from the Consumer Electronics Show 2018, Spartan underwear.
Yep. You know how some people like have a problem with radiation, like Wi-Fi radiation or cell phone radiation, and think it's like the worst thing ever?
Yeah.
Well, this is underwear designed to prevent that. It is basically underwear woven with aluminum fibers, creating a nice Faraday cage around your junk.
Mm.
Not a scam. It actually does what it claims to do. Do we need it?
No.
No. But there it is.
A fool and his money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
$50.
$50 per pair. Just don't put it on your laptop because don't know if you know this, but aluminum is a conductor of heat.
Yes.
Nice toasty lap.
Yep.
Yeah, that
there's a reason why you get if you get like a something from Wendy's, you don't put the thing into the microwave with the wrapper still on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Not saying how I learned that, but
yeah.
You experienced some arc lightning.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's quite a sensation when that bolt hits you.
Yeah.
No, I made many an AOL wall ornament back in the day.
Yeah. We all have at one time or another.
Yeah.
And now, finally, for our penultimate news of the night, which means it's not the final story, but director Tim Miller, who some of you may know as the director of the Deadpool movie, is now rumored to be working on a movie based on Kitty Pryde, a.k.a. Shadowcat, a.k.a. God knows how many other name she's taken over the years.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. That's...
I'm intrigued. No,
Kitty Pryde is a legitly cool character. It's just... you gotta be careful on how you do her. Because, she is a character that if you're not careful, she can very easily turn into a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she's... basically been a perennial young adult since the 1970s.
Yeah.
That being said, I think the way that she's portrayed in the comics right now is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, good source material to work from.
Yeah. Consider the following. She has, you know, fading powers. She is, you know, hooked up with the big metallic Russian dude, Colossus.
Yeah.
She's also a trained ninja. She has a little transdimensional dragon friend. You could so easily turn this into...
Yeah.
But...
it's marketable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you give it to Tim Miller, who did an amazing job with Deadpool, so...
Not just a Deadpool, but the original god-awful Ryan Reynolds Deadpool.
Yeah. So, you know, he's got talent, so hopes are high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Fox isn't just waiting around for this Marvel deal to get finalized before they just keep pooping out all these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we still got all those X-Men spinoffs that are in the works, like X-Force and the New Mutants and all that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if Marvel didn't tell, or if Disney didn't tell him to just hold tight for a while we sort this out, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a problem getting that deal approved, so it's probably just academic at this point. Fox is going to keep making those movies, and then when Disney buys their entertainment division, it just all reverts to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not like they have to get integrated into the mainline Marvel Cinematic Universe immediately anyway.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You can slow burn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cameo here, appearance there.
Yeah, we've got a few post-credit scenes to hint at it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that when they finally do get to introduce the X-Men, that's going to be a weird thing because it's like, oh, here's half the superheroes in the world. We just never knew these guys existed when the world was threatened dozens of times.
Yeah. It'll just be awesome.
Well, I mean, a big part of them being what they were was lying low, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, though finally, you also have Professor X.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can see everything. I know it's all limited to the mutants. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, though, in Marvel's hands, they're going to reboot all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's Marvel, it's kind of what they do.
So the same story over and over again.
Yep. And finally, our last story of the night. Marvel is now working on a Black Widow movie.
And this is in the MCU.
Yes.
And finally, Scarlet gets her own movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Details are kind of sparse at the moment.
But... yeah. Jack Schaefer is penning the script, which she has worked on a number of things. She was tapped to write Nasty Women, the female version of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. She's had other projects like The Shower she wrote, which was a comedy about an alien invasion during a baby shower, which caught the eye of Anne Hathaway, who basically attached herself to it and was the star of that, which she also attached herself to Nasty Women, so she very much has a relationship with Jack. But she's still fairly new. It's so cool when you get some of these new people on board and they can do some cool things. Like when What's-His-Face got the hold of Guardians of the Galaxy after just being a B or C movie director.
James Gunn.
Yeah. He wasn't just any B or C movie director, though. He was working with Trauma.
Yeah, it's
There is a prestige to that, believe it or not.
It's just like, oh, you went from Trauma to making, you know, one of the biggest Marvel movies around. Just like the one guy from New Zealand who it just made like indie movies went on to make Thor Ragnarok.
Or the guy from Switzerland who was making artsy art house movies then ends up being the director for Empire Strikes Back.
Well, I do like that Disney is taking a chance on new talent because It keeps the MCU fresh, so... Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't think anybody at Disney had expected how good that movie was going to turn out. And, you know, it was going to be one of those second-tier summer movies, and then it just exploded.
So, I do believe we got a show, folks. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you have a question you want to write into the show, something you want us to read on the air, or just some, you know, your 1,000-page political manifesto, you can email us.
You say that, but sooner or later we're going to get one.
It's going to happen eventually. But, you can reach us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it in the show notes. Just click on it. And on top of iTunes, you can also catch our little show at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Archive.org, RSS, and any place where fine, fine, delicious podcasts like ours are served. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, I'd like to say good night, get some sleep out there.